Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. I appreciate the Lord moving as he does when we come to his house with a sense of expectation. We don't ever leave disappointed. Amen? And God is so good to us as his people. And I don't ever want to forget the blessings of the Lord in my life. Praise God. Just a few announcements. Outreach is going to be this Saturday at 11. And then also we have a Christmas concert, a choir concert Sunday evening. And so invite friends and people of the community to come be with us, your family members, Sunday evening at 6:30, the choir. We're going to have a choir concert. And this Saturday, Gail Cannon, many of you probably already know, passed away. And we're going to have her funeral this Saturday at the Texarkana Funeral Home at 11. And I think there's a visitation on Friday evening, and there's details about all of this in the bulletin. Also, let's be praying for the Fitzgerald family and Brother Charlie, his family. She passed away, and I just was over at the viewing for that, but the funeral, I believe, is tomorrow. So we want to be praying for this family. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I invite your attention to the Word of the Lord. To the book of Psalms, Psalms 103, and I want to read the first six verses there, Psalms 103, praise God. And I want to deal with a subject that I feel on my heart tonight, and at the conclusion of this service, you know, I talked about it Sunday night, about how that the Lord confirms his word with signs following. That's in the Bible. And I believe it could happen right here on a Wednesday night, don't you? So after I get through teaching about what I'm going to teach tonight, we're going to see what the Lord would do in this particular area. Praise God. It's also good to see Brother James Lee and his wife with us tonight. God bless them. We appreciate them being here. Psalms 103 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. There's a lot there, and there's many things that we could choose as a subject and preach upon here tonight, and we may allude to a few that are in that passage, but let's look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth, everybody say healeth, healeth all thy diseases. I want to teach tonight about divine healing. I know we talk about it a lot, and we've seen many instances of it and have many testimonies right here that God is a healer. Amen? Praise God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can depend upon him and trust in him, and that he does heal us as his people. Praise God. You know, when we talk about healing all our diseases, that's something when you consider how specialized the medical world is in our day. You've got a problem in a certain area, you go to that doctor. If you've got a foot problem, you go to a podiatrist. If you got an eye problem, you go to, they have different divisions of that nowadays. And then just different doctors for different things. Hardly do you just go to a general physician. and everything is specialized. But God, according to this scripture, healeth all thy diseases. He's a specialist in every area that we need him to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing about our God. He has power over everything that we might encounter. Praise God. So this is what we're going to preach about here tonight, talk to you about. Why don't we lift up our hands and ask the Lord to help us before we're seated. Jesus, we're asking you, God, to help us here tonight. Strengthen us. Speak to us through your word. I pray, God, it would find lodging place in each and every heart. And then at the conclusion of our service here tonight, I pray that you would move powerfully. Touch, God, each and every person that is in need of healing in their body. I pray that you would work for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's clap our hands in praise to the Lord. Praise God. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Satan has unleashed a threefold scourge of sin, sickness, and death upon our world. And we know from reading the Word of God and studying it that this and its end result is going to lead to eternal damnation. And that's his desire for each and every person. He wants to destroy everyone. He wants to wreak havoc in every person's life. But David here in Psalms 103 points out that all of these curses have not only been countered but overcame by the benefits that the Lord deposits into the lives of his people. He admonishes us in the very first part of this portion that I read to forget not all of his benefits. Amen. It's a challenge sometimes as we walk through life to not become so accustomed and familiar with things that we get a little bit of contempt and too familiar with it that we're unthankful for it. But I am thankful for each and every blessing and benefit that the Lord affords a child of God. And I want to take this admonishment from the psalmist very seriously that he has blessed me, and I don't want to forget the benefits that he has placed in my life. It would have been enough had he just saved us from sin. It would have been enough had he just forgiven us. It would have been enough had he just given us the Holy Ghost, or had we just been baptized in the name of Jesus. But I am so thankful that it goes beyond the new birth. When you live for God, you're a blessed individual. When you serve the Lord, God gives you extra benefits on top of that. More than just salvation, there's so many things that we could elaborate on here tonight. We could talk about the provisions of the Lord. We could talk about the protection of the Lord. We could talk about prayers being answered. We could talk about little things in our lives that may not mean much to somebody else, but you take them and subtract them away from your life, it would mean a great deal to you. How many's got little things that the Lord you feel like has done for you that has made a big difference in your life? Oh, forget not all of his benefits. And the psalmist makes the point. He said he forgives all our iniquities, or all thine iniquities. Praise God. I'm thankful that we're serving a God that has the power to forgive. No one else can do that. I said no one else shed blood that was able to cleanse you of your sin. No one else is able to forgive you of your sin. No one else died for you at Calvary but him. And I'm thankful that he forgives our iniquities. He forgives our sins. And then it says that he redeemeth our life from destruction. Praise God. And I've already made mention of it here tonight, but I am thankful that we have heaven to look forward to, that we have this great and glorious salvation that we possess. I'm thankful that as we walk this life, that this is not the only thing that we have to hope in. As the apostle said, if I had hope only in this life, I would be above all men, most miserable. Amen. But I am thankful that we have hope, and that we have something to look forward to, and that we have a reward in heaven and a crown of righteousness that the Bible said is laid up for us. Praise God. I'm so thankful that He has redeemed our life from destruction. We have an escape. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to be eternally lost. We don't have to face the judgment without hope. But we're here tonight because we have been redeemed. And then He says that He heals all thy diseases. The devil wants to destroy any faith that you might have in God's ability to perform these three works that I just mentioned, that He's able to forgive you of sin. Matter of fact, anytime you commit sin, the first thing the devil tries to tell you is God is not able to forgive you of that sin. Amen. But you need to stop listening to the devil, because the Bible says that he's not only a liar, but he is the father of all lies, and that he is the accuser of the brethren. Praise God. And somebody says, well, what I'm dealing with and what I'm struggling with and the sin that I have in my life is greater than somebody else's, and so I don't think that God, he may be able to forgive somebody else or work with somebody else, but I don't know that he's able to forgive me and my situation and help me with my struggle. But let me tell you what the Bible said. It said that there is no temptation but what is common to man. So what you're struggling with, chances are other people not only have struggled with it, but they may be struggling with it now. There's no temptation but what is common to man. Don't let the devil try to isolate your situation. Don't let Satan get in your head and try to convince you that you're some kind of peculiar case that God has not had the power to heal and to deliver you and to restore your soul. That's simply a lie out of hell. Amen. I come to counter that in the Word of God. Somebody ought to believe with me tonight what the Word of God says, and that the Word of God is true. Hallelujah. He wants to convince you that salvation, at least for you, is something that is elusive, something that can never really be achieved, that you couldn't live for God in longevity. You can't successfully walk with God, and so therefore you'll never be saved. Or the hope of going to heaven, well, that's just kind of like beyond your grasp or beyond your ability. And that's exactly right. It is beyond your ability. It is beyond your scope. It is beyond what is innate within you. Amen. But aren't you thankful that God, through His grace, aren't you thankful that God, through the empowerment of the Holy Ghost and through His blood, has given us the opportunity to be saved? Hallelujah. Well, He's given us something that we don't deserve, something that we cannot achieve on our own or by ourselves. Matter of fact, he told the Apostle Paul told Titus, he said, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it's by His grace that He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and in filling of the Holy Ghost, is what he was discussing there. Aren't you thankful that God is able to regenerate what is otherwise a degenerate person? Amen. Somebody that really, amen, they couldn't get it straightened out on their own, no matter how hard they tried. But God was able to restore them. Amen. Maybe even society and all of its attempts could not restore them. Rehab and maybe even incarceration or whatever the case may be was not able to restore them and make a good citizen out of them. But they came to an altar and repented of their sins. They went to a baptistry and was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And from that moment, their lives was completely changed. Amen. That's a very powerful, powerful thing, folks. But really what I want to focus on, and what he wants you to forget also, is he wants you to forget the benefits of the possibility and his willingness of you being healed. And he wants us to get off of that subject and not talk about it and be doubtful that God is able to do that work in our day. And honestly, I think it's quite possible that one of the reasons why we don't see the miracles that we used to see is because people do not go to God as a first place that they want to visit to find healing for their body, or that's not the first person that they call on. Amen. We all got to admit that the advancements of medical science and all of that has made it a lot easier for us to go that route. And I believe God uses some of that. I'm not discounting that at all. But there was a time and there was a day when people didn't have those things and they literally had to depend upon God to heal them completely, or there just was they were just given up for dead, or to live with the malady, whatever it may be, or the situation as it was, or whatever came out of it. So faith was something that was not so much a choice. Trusting God was not so much a choice in those days, but it was pretty much a requirement, because there just wasn't the opportunities that we have and the options that we have today. But I want to tell you, and I want you to understand tonight, that God is willing to heal. If you walk out of this place with anything solidified in your mind, that's what I want you to walk out firmly and planted in your mind, is the fact that God is willing to heal. Amen. And I want to take care of this right up front. I know that there's times that He chooses not to heal us. And some people say, well, what kind of glory would God get out of somebody's suffering or somebody's death or whatever? What you've got to understand is that God sees the big picture. He sees it from eternity's viewpoint. And we know, according to the Word of God, that there is a sickness that is unto death. You guys think you're going to live forever? Amen. Praise God. One of these days, you live long enough and the Lord tarries long enough, there's going to be a sickness or a situation that's going to lead to all of our demise. Amen. And that's just the way life is. And it's hard to let go of people. It's hard for us to face that. I understand. But what I am preaching tonight, and I will continue to preach as long as I preach the Word of God, I'm going to preach this as a part of it, that God is able to heal, and that we should always have faith in His ability to heal. And just because somebody is not healed, it's not going to disappoint me to the point that I'm going to stop praying for people to be healed, or I'm going to stop laying my hands on folks for them to be healed. I'm going to keep anointing people with oil until Jesus comes and praying for their healing. And you know what? The odds are a lot more, and that's probably not a good way to say it, but the odds are a lot more in the favor of God healing them. And I have statistically seen God work more miracles than I've seen Him not work them, where faith was involved and somebody, amen, was believing God for their healing. God touched them. It may not have been exactly when they wanted it or in their time, but God did a work and gave them a miracle, and they were able to see and have the testimony that God, in fact, was a healer. So we need to be encouraged tonight and understand that God is a divine healer, and that we still believe in the miracle of healing. And it's still a part of the ministry of the church. And it's still a part of this Bible that we're preaching out of. Amen. And it's still something that we can see and experience and have right here today in the 21st century. It's not just for the church in 33 AD in the book of Acts. It's not just for the early Pentecostals here in America around the pioneer days and the Brush Harbors. It's not just for that time. And it's not just for those, amen, maybe a generation or two ago, that our fathers and grandfathers and such that believed God and seen miracles. It's not just for them, but God wants you to experience His healing power. He wants you to see miracles. Amen. Why are you talking about it tonight? Because I want to see more miracles of healing in the church than what I've been seeing. And I learned a long time ago, you get what you preach. You preach Holy Ghost, people get the Holy Ghost. You preach about baptism, people will get baptized in Jesus' name. You preach about repentance, people are going to come to the altar and repent. You preach, amen, and therefore the Word of God follows those things. Amen, and healing is something that we should continue faithfully to uphold and preach as a part of the New Testament church. Oh, I think we've got to clap our hands and give praise to the Lord. Amen. In Mark chapter number 1 and verse 40, the Bible tells us a story about a leper that, as I've said many times, leprosy being one of the most dreaded diseases of the time, I'm sure that he was a little fearful and maybe even intimidated to approach the Lord, because there were certain laws that were in place that said he had to stay a certain distance away, being unclean with leprosy, and even had to announce if somebody was coming down the road in his direction that, hey, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. The law required him to do that. But he had heard, no doubt, that the Lord was able. And the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody had told him, or maybe even he, at some point had met someone that had the testimony that God had healed them. So when the Lord came into the area where he was, he asked him a very pertinent question. He said, if thou wilt, he said, thou canst make me clean, if thou wilt. Now, you've got to read into this a little bit. But you understand that if he is asking a question like that, there has to be a little bit of doubt left in his mind, if thou wilt. And this is us sometimes. God, I know. See, the man didn't doubt that he was able. He said, if thou wilt. He said, I know you're able. I know you can do it. But I don't know, again, if you can do it for me. I don't know if it can happen in my life. And isn't that where we're at a lot of times? Is I can believe that he can do it for brother so-and-so. And I believe that he can touch somebody else and heal somebody else. But I'm having trouble believing that he can do it. If you will, then I know you can make me clean. And notice what the Lord did. He immediately answered and said to him, I will, first of all. I will. In other words, I am willing. I am willing to heal you. And you need to get that fixed in your mind that we've got a God that is willing. We're not serving a stingy God. We're not serving a God that's sitting back with his arms crossed and saying, come on, beg and plead with me a little bit, and I may change my mind about this. That's not the God I serve. But the Bible said that he's willing. He said, I will. And then he said, be thou clean. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand right up front that he is willing. But I find many instances in the Scripture where the Scripture tells us that Jesus asked basically this same question to the people that needed healing. He said, if thou wilt, you can be made whole. How many members reading that in the Word of God? If thou wilt, you can be made whole. Praise God. So the question, and the onus is not on our Lord. It's not on God. The question is I'm willing? Is my faith where it needs to be? Is my life where it needs to be? Am I trusting God to the place that I need to? And he is willing if I am willing. And he can work if I will allow him to work. Praise the Lord. When God's presence moves, when God's power is activated in a church service, amen, we don't need to be hesitant. We don't need to be sitting back and saying, well, if he will, I know he can. And I know he's moving on other people. And I don't know if he will for me. I'm going to tell you, when the waters are troubled, brother, you better step out. You better move with it. You better flow with the Holy Ghost, because that's your opportunity for God to touch you and to give you the miracle that you desire. Amen. Clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. I want you to notice this declaration that God made all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. I don't know that I included that one. I'm sorry. He said, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." For I am the Lord that healeth thee. How many knows He's our healer? God's willingness to heal is clearly demonstrated through, first of all, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. I want to read that for us. "When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all," everybody say all, "that were sick." And I'm sure there was all kind of different sundry needs that were there. There was probably one that had palsy. There was one perhaps that was there that was blind. Maybe there was somebody else there that was deaf. I don't know all the conditions, but it didn't matter. Whatever the situation was, He was able to heal all of them. He was able to take care of every need that was there. Can you say praise the Lord? Also, Isaiah reveals that through Christ and His atonement, we can be healed. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And again, I don't know that I place that one in our notes, but let me just look it up here. Okay, we got it. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him." Note this, "and with His stripes we are healed." The price has been paid. He included healing in the atonement. It was a provision along with forgiveness and salvation, resurrection, and eternal life. He placed in all of that the benefit. We don't need to forget His benefits. The benefit of being healed. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be serving a God that is able to heal us. Praise God. We see God's willing to heal communicated in the ongoing ministry of the church. Mark chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18. Very famous scriptures, and we quote them often. "These signs shall follow them that believe." This is talking about the church and the work that the church and the ministry of the church. "In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." How many is a tongue talker here tonight? "They shall take up serpents." Now, that doesn't mean we go out and get a box of rattlesnakes and bring them in here. For all those that take that out of context. I was exercising on a jogging trail, and I got to thinking, I'm glad it's 40 degrees out here, because this looks like a pretty snaky place. But the scripture came to mind, but I also know there's another scripture that said, don't tempt the Lord. And so I don't go around looking for snakes. And if that's where you want to prove your faith, then go right on ahead. I hope it works out for you. Amen. But that's not how I'm going to prove my faith. Matter of fact, I was walking down a trail going to hunt, and it's amazing how camouflaged these things are. And it was right on the road. Right on the path. Man, I had my mind 1,000 miles away, and I was trucking it. And all of a sudden, I hear a ch-ch-ch-ch. And I jumped straight up. Thankfully, I didn't land back down on him. But I seen him over there. He was curled up. Coiled up. Not curled up. And he was ready, man. And thankful it was a little bit cool, and he was a little bit docile. If it had been July, I'd have been down at the emergency room. But thankfully, the Lord keeps us. But I haven't been one to just go out looking to take up copperheads and take up rattlesnakes. That's not my deal. Praise God. Amen. But we know that if He put this in here, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be a serpent like a snake. But we know it could be anything that would try to come against us, that we can have power. Amen. You believe that? How many knows that God can give us power over the things that are in our path that would try to hinder us and destroy us? And if they drink any deadly thing, that don't mean you need to go get you some Kool-Aid and cyanide in it and start drinking it and prove your faith. That's not it. That means if there's an attack against you, and this could also be implied spiritually. It doesn't have to mean just like this. It could be in any other instance. It's just giving us examples that our Lord is able to protect His people and able to watch over His people. Can you say praise the Lord? It shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, that's what the book says. That's in the Bible. Praise the Lord. It didn't say when just brother so-and-so lays hands on him, he's the only one that's got the gift of healing. He's the only one that can do it. No, it said a believer. It said if you have faith. It said in His Word that you should lay hands on the sick and see them recover. How many knows that God is able to heal when we come believing on His name? I said when we believe on the name of the Lord, God is able to. You may not be able to call the preacher. It may be in the middle of the night. It may be on the side of the road somewhere when you have to reach over to a family member and pray for them. And you need God's healing and intervention right there. How many knows that God is able to fulfill that scripture in your life? How many's ever seen Him do it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that the Lord commissioned the 12 to go out and heal the sick as a part of their proclamation of the kingdom of God. And then a little while later, 70 He sent out, and they came back with testimonies that they laid hands on people and saw them healed, that the sick was healed. And He included healing as a part of the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:19, he included healing as a part of that Great Commission for the church. That's one of the things that the church is going to be a part of. That's one of the ministries of the church in these last days, is to see divine healing. The church carries on the healing ministry of Jesus Christ through four avenues that I can find in the scripture: by the laying on of hands. And we know that we anoint people also with oil that are sick. And that's not just something that we do out of tradition, but that's something we do in obedience to the Word of God. The book of James tells us that when we do that and we have faith and we pray, that God will recover that person. God will heal that person. If we'll believe on the name of the Lord, that we can see that individual healed. Oh, I thought I'd hear an amen right there. Praise God. Through the prayer of faith also, we see that God carries on the ministry of healing in the church. And we also see it through the gift of healing, or the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. And one of those nine gifts is the gift of healing. Praise God. Now, we know that anybody that has the Holy Ghost, as the Lord moves upon them, can be used, if they're sensitive to it, they can be used in any of the nine gifts of the Spirit. How many believes that? I don't believe that there's resident gifts necessarily in somebody. I believe you got the Holy Ghost. The need is there. God moves. I've been in church services where I felt like the gift of faith was in operation. That worked through the auspice of the Holy Ghost being at work. And there was the need. What is the gift of faith? That's having that extra, more than just what we would call our normal measure of faith, I suppose. Having that help, supernatural help and faith to believe God for a situation or a need that might arise. Can you say amen? That's the gift of faith being in operation. Well, there's times the Bible said the gift of healing works like that. And we've seen healing services right here where the gift of healing was in operation. And I am thankful that that is a part of the ministry of the church today. So don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that God is not a healer. Don't let him convince you that God doesn't care and God isn't concerned and the work of healing is over in the church. But very quickly, I want to talk about some hindrances, possible hindrances to healing that I find in the Word of God. There's seven of them that I want to mention here tonight. First of all, unconfessed sins can be a hindering factor when it comes to healing. We look at this in James chapter number 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. One for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Does that mean go get on the phone and tell everybody everything you've ever done? And No. That's not necessarily what that means. That's talking about making things right between one another. Amen. Like if you've sinned against somebody else, or if you've held a grudge against somebody else, or you've got a problem with somebody, you need to get that worked out. And confess that and get that under the blood. And pray for one another where you can pray. I'm going to tell you how you know if you've really forgiven somebody is if you can pray for that person. Oh, it's gotten quiet down at Landmark Pentecost Church. A heavy fog has came into the building. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, when you can really pray for somebody, you know that you've got all ought out of your heart. Amen. The effectual fervent prayer. It's hard to be effectual if you got any of these above mentioned things hindering you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's much success. There's much that comes from somebody that prays effectually according to the Word of God. And fervently, that means they got some fire in their prayers. They're passionate about it. They're not just lackadaisical. They don't lack desire in it, but they've got desire and fervency, and they are praying effectually and also with a righteous and clean heart before God. It avails much. That's what the Bible says. So unconfessed sin can hinder healing. And then we know that oppression or bondage spiritually can hinder a person's healing. Luke chapter 13 verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. This oppression was so heavy it could be seen physically upon her. It was so burdensome and binding to her that it bowed her over, a spirit of infirmity. We know that oppression and the bondage of Satan can hinder a person being whole and being what they need to be physically. Can you say amen? But I am so thankful that Jesus looked back there and said to that lady, woman, be loosed. And the Bible said that she was able to stand up straight and she was whole. Praise God. I'm so thankful that God is able to deliver us from oppression and the bondage of the enemy. Can you say praise the Lord to that? If you're here and you've been battling with depression or you've been battling with some kind of oppressive spirit and maybe even goes as far as suicidal thoughts, God forbid. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people evidently that deal with this and deal with the very reality of it because it's happening a lot in our world today. I'm going to tell you, God is able to deliver you and He's able to give you the joy of the Holy Ghost. He's able to fulfill your life. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, let's clap our hands and give praise to Him again. And then past disappointments, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Can I tell you that past disappointments can sometimes undermine faith in the present? A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Let's go a little further. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Can you imagine how demoralized she had to be when she had spent all of her nest egg and retirement and everything she had saved up, went to every physician that she could afford to go to or she could find that would take her, and was nothing better but rather grew worse? That's disappointment, folks. Can't get healing. Can't get help anywhere. It gets worse. The symptoms get worse. But aren't you thankful that God was able to help her over all of those past disappointments? The Lord walked into her life, and just by simply touching him, amen, just by simply a touch from the Lord, all of those past disappointments can be eradicated. I'm going to tell you, in one service, it didn't matter how many disappointments you had, how many failures you've had, how many times you've been let down, God can lift you up above all of them. I said, God can lift you up above all of them. Oh, praise the Lord. And then another hindering factor to healing is unbiblical teaching and false concepts concerning healing. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. There was this false concept, false teaching, that there could not be healing on the Sabbath. And the Lord said, I want you to understand that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. I want you to understand the reason there is a Sabbath is because of who I am. Praise God. Matter of fact, all of this is set in motion so that I could step out and show and reveal myself to you as God manifest in the flesh and give you the miracles that you need, and you can see the insufficiency of your flesh and your man-made ideas and traditions, that they are insufficient, but that I am able to heal, and I am able to restore, and I am able to work miracles. Stretch forth thy hand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So a lot of people, they have things in their minds and teaching, and maybe even teaching that, well, what I've got and what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through, well, it's payment for past sin or past failures or past whatever in my life. And people can get these kind of concepts. They can get there's people that teach this kind of stuff. And it was in Jesus' day. He said, well, this young man's sick. Is he sick because of his mother and father's sin? Or, you know, is it because of him? What's the situation? You talk about twisted minds that God would allow a child to suffer sickness because of some decision that was beyond them, or their choice. That was the idea of that day. And Jesus is combating that right here, that I am able to heal, and I am able to save, and I am able to work even on the Sabbath day. Oh, praise the Lord. So sometimes that can be a hindrance to somebody, false teaching about it, false understanding about it. Praise God. And we're not exempt from it today. I've heard some crazy ideas and crazy things, and people take scriptures and twist them out of context. I believe with all of my heart that a woman's hair is a glory unto her and unto the Lord, and it's a biblical thing that we teach and preach around here. But I've been hearing a doctrine about magical hair, that if a lady take down her hair and place it on the knee or whatever, I'm going to tell you that's foolishness. Amen. That's not in the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God says we have power through keeping that covenant with God. But we also understand that the Scripture tells us explicitly what to do when we need healing in our lives. We take and anoint, we take and pray, lay hands on that person that is sick. We pray for that need. We call on the name of the Lord in faith, and God is able to do the work. I said, and God is able to do the work. It's not me, it's Him. It's not you, it's Him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I don't know how I got off on all that, but I'm just going to tell you something. We need to be careful that we stay biblical. Amen. Praise God. And then failure to pray the prayer of faith, very obviously, is a hindrance. Matthew 17, 19 through 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." I'm going to tell you the importance of us having an ongoing relationship with God through prayer is important. A lot of people, they pray when a need arises, when a situation comes up. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, the most spiritual people in the world when some kind of sickness comes on them or their family or whatever. But you know what? If we've got that day-to-day relationship with God, we're walking in faith and we're praying and we're seeking the face of the Lord, we're doing the word of the Lord, we're being obedient to the word of the Lord, and then fasting as we should on occasion, then it's not something that we've got to do a hurry up. Oh, God, can you give me one on credit? God, oh, I'm in a jam. I'll put the prayer time in later if you'll just answer this one little prayer. That's not how it works, folks. If we've got that day-to-day relationship with God, then we'll be able to slip into that place in the spirit of prayer and be able to pray the prayer of faith that we need to pray. But we won't have that confidence towards God if we've not been praying daily, praying like we should. Praise God. And then, of course, unbelief is a hindrance. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. "And he did not many mighty works there," this is speaking of a certain area, "because of their unbelief." Unbelief is a hindrance to the will of God being done. It's a hindrance to miracles transpiring. And then carnal behavior, worldliness, ungodliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. And we know that this is talking about sacrament. This is talking about when we discern the Lord's body. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." In other words, you got to understand the context of this. The Corinthian church, they were viewing this very sacred time as just a time of fellowship. And it says, "For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." They were viewing this very sacred thing as just an after-church fellowship of sorts. And it didn't have the sacredness. It didn't have the fear of God in it. They did not carefully and circumspectly enter into this. But they just did it kind of lackadaisically. And the Lord, through the Apostle Paul writing here, is instructing them and giving them instructions that you need to understand this is something special. This is not just something you do haphazardly. Now, I remember growing up in the church, and they preached and taught this with such fear that everybody just about used the opt-out option when it came to sacrament and foot washing. They said, "Well, I'm just not going to show up that night." And here we're almost time to roll around to the time that we do it here at the first of the year. I'm going to tell you, that's not the approach we need to have. The Bible said very easy to take care of. If we're coming and approaching with the right attitude, and then it says to examine ourselves, and we can carefully examine ourselves and let the Word of God, examine ourselves according to the Word of God, and the Word of God as a mirror that looks upon us and examines us. and line things out and get things right and go ahead, because if there's curse or if there's some type of negative that comes out of this by taking it unworthily, then we understand that there's a great blessing that can come if a person takes it with the right attitude and the right spirit. Amen. And we don't want to miss the blessing that God has for us. And so many people being weakened and healing not being able to come to them is what Paul is saying, because of their carnality. I'm going to tell you, but there's a path, according to the Word of God, for us to be healed. The first priority is for us to have a right relationship with God, to walk with God, to stay full of the Holy Ghost, to stay saturated in the Scripture, His Word, to be in our lives, and then to carefully examine ourselves and repent. You know, repentance sounds like a word that to the carnal it's repulsive, but I'm going to tell you, to the person that really wants to please God, that's a good word. Repentance. Repentance. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. Something that all of us need to be familiar with is repentance. Amen. Somebody said, well, I can't think of anything I've done. Get down here and repent of your pride. Get down here and repent over not acknowledging that we all have flesh that we have to deal with. And it would be better if we'd come to an altar and say, God, I'm submitting myself to you. Examine me. If there's any part of me that is unlike you, I want you, God, to forgive me and cleanse me. I repent of it. I want to correct it. I want to get it right, because I want your blessings. I want your goodness in my life. I want you to be able to heal me. Then after you've repented, you need to have faith. You need to have expectation for a miracle and trust the Lord that it's going to come. And when we trust the Lord, it's more than just momentary faith that we're believing God. But when we trust Him, we're saying, you know what? If it doesn't happen at this visit at the altar, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be here the next opportunity I get. In fact, you can just count on it. I want you to know, devil, the next time I come to church, I'm going to the altar. I'm going to pray. And if it's the same prayer, the same words, and it takes that same constant faith, I'm going to keep believing and keep standing and trusting God that the miracle is going to come. If it didn't happen yesterday, it can happen today. I'm not going to let any past disappointment, I'm not going to let anything undermine my faith. I'm going to believe God right now that He is a healer. Would you stand with me right now? Lift up your hands to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's give praise to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the evangelist the other night had a prayer line here. And you can believe what you will, but we believe this is perhaps when it happened. And Brother Doc, he'd been wearing this life vest, whatever they call it, around. And many of you probably didn't even know it, but 24/7 deal. Had to have it on. Said it could actually save his life if there was some kind of cardiac event, that this thing would, I guess, jumpstart him again. And it was an aggravating thing to have to wear, though, and had some kind of defibrillator or whatever in it. And he was like the bionic man. It was sending signals back up to where? Pennsylvania, that's where it was. I was telling somebody Wisconsin. I knew that wasn't right. And so it's sending signals to Pennsylvania, back to Texarkana, and all kinds of stuff. And doctors are reading this, and it's all computerized. And quite an amazing deal, but uncomfortable. And told me the other day, we went out and tried to deer hunt or something, and the thing went off and scared all the deer out of the woods. Just aggravating. Being in the middle of the church, the thing go, I never heard it, but it was just aggravation to him. But the other day, after this prayer line he went through, he went to the doctor. And the doctor I guess it examined this information that's been sent back from it and said, you don't need this thing anymore. Matter of fact, he was able to box it up and send it back to Pennsylvania. And they asked him, so why are you going to do that for? He said, well, I don't need it no more. Oh, really? Like they never had anybody that just had to stop using it. Usually they have to wait until there's a surgery where they implant one of those defibrillators of sorts. And so he was able to get free from all of that. Amen. And we're just going to believe God for this miracle. Praise God. And how else can you say it but it just being a miracle? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I believe that God is still a healer. I said, God is still a healer. Amen. Now, I realize we can say, well, what about this one and what about that one? And you know, that's hard for a preacher that's preached as many funerals as I have preached of young people and middle-aged people and those kinds of things and people that died prematurely and all of that. You know, that's a test sometimes to your faith when you have somebody that you're presiding over their funeral. It's a child or maybe some other life was snuffed out early because of some kind of disease or situation, and we can get it in our minds and get to thinking, well, what about this situation? Hey, I don't know about all of that. I'm putting that in the hands of God. But every time I get the chance, come on now, every time I get the chance, I'm still going to pray in the name of the Lord and believe God that He is a healer. I'm not going to lay this down just because of a few disappointments or something I don't understand or something I can't figure out, because God's bigger than me and He's far too wise to make a mistake. And He sees the end from the beginning. We're back here at the beginning trying to see the end. He's at the end already looking back at the beginning. He knows everything's going to happen. He knows where the soul's going to spend eternity. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. And so it's very, very important that we realize that and have the approach of faith in every situation. I want you right now, I know we've been a little while tonight, but I want you right now. It doesn't demand that we have another prayer line. It doesn't demand that I put oil on everybody's head. It doesn't demand that. It doesn't demand necessarily that we lay hands on you. I told you there's different ways right here in the scripture that I proved to you that the prayer of faith, amen, by believing and you having faith in God that He's able to heal. Amen. I want everybody in this place right now that wants a touch from God in your body, and maybe it's not you that you want to pray for, maybe it's somebody else. How many knows that God's able to reach them? This is a time when weather's different and up and down and people are getting sick, sickness is going around. It may be something like that, or it may be something terminal that somebody's facing. It may be something, that's drastic. It may be something minor. But I'm going to tell you, everything is important to God. Everything that affects you is important to God. Praise the Lord. So we're going to slip our hands up right now to God. If you have that situation, I want you know who you are. I want you to pray in faith right now. I want you to pray for that person, call their name if it's another person. If it's you, I want you to be specific, and I want you to pray for the situation that you want God to take care of in your life. Whatever it is, God, I'm asking you right now in your name and for your glory. I'm praying, God, that you would touch, that you would heal. We're praying, God, that prayer of faith that the Bible talks about. We're believing you and upon your word right now. We're standing in faith, believing for healing in this congregation. You see those that are facing sickness. You see those that have had problems with disease. God, I pray, God, against things that folks have been challenged with and facing. In Jesus' name, I pray your healing virtue to flow. I pray you'd honor the faith of this congregation. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Now let's give Him praise together. Would you do it? You've asked Him for it. Let's stand in faith and praise Him for it. Would you have the faith to go ahead and praise Him for it? I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Let's give Him a little bit more praise. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for this benefit? Amen. I said, aren't you thankful for this blessing? Amen. Forget not all His benefits. Praise God, praise God. Pray. Oh, let's just praise Him a little more. I feel His touch here. I feel His touch here. I feel His strength here. I feel like somebody's being helped right now. I feel like somebody, God, is reaching down and touching right now. I feel like God is ministering to someone right now. I feel like God is working in somebody's life right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, do. I feel like sometimes there's miracles that takes place and We don't never tell nobody about it. We don't ever come back and report on it. We don't ever do any of that. Nobody gets the testimony. You know, I'm going to tell you about your testimony. It helps bolster somebody else's faith that might be facing what you're facing. That's why it's important. Amen. And you're not bragging on yourself. You're bragging on Jesus when you do that. Praise the Lord. So it's all right. It's all right. And anybody's got any sense will be happy for you, because we know the Bible said rejoice with them that rejoice. Praise God. So we're going to rejoice because we know if God did it for you, He'll do it for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight.